Working Cows Podcast, Episode 89.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Hey everybody, it's Clay Connery, host of the Working Cows Podcast, powered by the Global Ag Network, and this episode is brought to you by the final class of the High Plains Ranch Practicum. More on that in a minute, but just for now, make sure you're aware that registration is open at hpranchpracticum.com. Social media continues to deliver great guests to the Working Cows Podcast and guest prospects and opportunities, and I saw Dalmas and his work with the Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism on the Facebooks, as you might say, and really interested by his work, and just happened to receive a message from him and said, hey, I'm looking for another episode, and he said, well, what about tomorrow? So we were able to get together and manage to facilitate this opportunity to record and talk a little bit with Dalmas about the work of the Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism. Dalmas, thank you for joining me today on the Working Cows Podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to join you.
In about 2013, you experienced a drought, and there was a lot of livestock lost in your community. Could you talk a little bit about that drought and how that happened and some of its effects on you and your community?
Yeah, the history of the droughts, actually recently we cannot now say no when we had drought and when we didn't have drought, because it's like we have been having droughts quite a while. But the period that we are talking about is, I think it's 2009-2012, where we lost, I think, 90% of the animals we own as a community. People were really devastated. They didn't know what to do. There was severity. The drought was so severe. There was lack of food. There were so many problems. And myself, being a member of this community, I decided to look for a solution to this problem. Yeah, so I came up with the Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism to try to address the problems that are being caused by these droughts and land degradation. Yeah.
And what is the history of the management of livestock with the Maasai people? How have they traditionally been managed, even before colonialism? And how have they been managing their livestock as a community?
The Maasai people is a pastoralist society that depend entirely on livestock for food. That means we take milk from the cow, we take meat and sometimes blood as our food. I think since maybe the Maasai, the mythology of the Maasai was that they were dropped from heaven by God, being on a cow skin, a big cow skin with the cows, and they were placed in a valley. And they were told, all the land that you see that belongs to you. And if you find any cow in the world, that is your cow. So we think that all the cows in the world belong to us, and possibly all the land in the world belong to us. But the command was that we should take care of the land and take care of the cows. That is the myth about how the Maasai interacted with cows and land. Again, they tell us a story that how they domesticated other animals, that later on, started domesticating the sheep, the red Maasai sheep and the goat. So the history of land is post-colonial land is that the Maasai were occupying actually like 70% of Kenya and a big portion of land in Tanzania, ranging from the shores of Lake Turkana to Dodoma in Tanzania. But during colonialism, the Maasai were pushed south to two districts in Kenya, that is the Kajiado and Narok district, and then they also occupy northern Tanzania, Arusha, Monduli, Ngorongoro, Manyara, and I think part of Dodoma. So when we were pushed, of course, we were concentrated into these two districts, and of course, that again affected the pastoralism, because people used to, you know, move from the southern part of Kenya or the northern Tanzania all the way to where they can get grass, and sometimes where they can evade infestation of tsetse fly and other diseases causing parasites. So then in the post-colonial era, the Maasai lost a big portion of land. We already lost a big portion of land during colonialism. Of course, there were big parts of land which were taken, but that is an history that I don't want to talk about, because that's not the meaning of this. What I want to say is that there were policies, again, which were brought with the structural adjustment being brought by the World Bank and the USAID in the late 60s and 70s, which occasioned subdivision of land. Of course, with the pretext that pastoralism was destructive to land, and they had to find a way to sedentarize pastoralism so that people don't move from one place to another with the animals, and to concentrate, you know, to live in one place. The other reason was of course, maybe to make it pastoralism more productive. And this was achieved. The land was subdivided, of course, with the opposition of some wise elders from the Maasai community, because there before, you know, all the land belonged to us. We were able to manage the land because it was, you know, adequate for pastoralism, for settlement, and for all these activities that the community required.
Would you say that the pastoralism of the Maasai before colonialism, before the subdivisions of the land, was regenerative? Was it doing good things for the land?
I want to come to that, but what I can say is that the effect that this subdivision of land had was that people were reduced into people who can, you know, live in a small area, maybe 50 or 20 acres of land, and you're owning maybe a herd of 30 animals or 100 animals, and you're told the land belongs to you, you're not supposed to, you know, to live with your neighbor and all that. What I can say is that this is one of the disasters that ever happened to this community. Because one thing it brought is that it actually caused a division within the people who had a very strong social fabric. They were living together as brothers and as communities, and this has been affected. What used to happen is that our traditional grazing system was the best. Why? Because elders were the ones actually who had a lot of knowledge on the land and a lot of knowledge on the, you know, the grasses. And the minerals and the sources of water, and they were able to guide us and tell us that. I can say that our grazing system was regenerative. It considered the health of the land, that also that the animals we keep were able to provide to produce enough for our people in terms of milk and beef, and also that the society was living together in harmony without really having problems being caused by scarcity of these common resources. It was regenerative.
And since the restructuring, since the subdivision of land, that has no longer been possible? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I can say yes. We in other areas where people still have, because there are areas where they did subdivision, but they have communal land. And actually, those are the areas now that we go to when we have a drought situation in our areas. So the people who are still managing in places like Loita and Amboseli and other places, they are managing their land very well as communities, as villages. So there is a difference with the people who have owned land as a communal land, and for those who own land as individual land, yeah.
So those places that are community owned and continuing the tradition of Maasai pastoralism are they're more drought resilient.
Yes.
Is that right? So now let's talk about your how did you come to holistic management? How did you come to the strategic plan that you have up on your website, which will be linked in the show notes page at workingcows.net/89. People will be able to find a link to Domus's website and the website for the Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism at workingcows.net/89, and you can read his strategic plan there. But how did you come to holistic management?
Yeah, what happened is that when we went through this situation where we lost all the animals, myself, that time I was already working. I finished the university and I was working. And when people were buying cars, others were buying, you know, good things and all that, I was always buying cars. So you find that I really love cows. I really love cows. And that's what I was doing. So I have really invested a lot. And I've gained a lot of respect among my community members. You know, it's a sign of riches when you have animals here. And when we lost these animals, it was very, very devastating. And I thought, what am I going to do to find a solution to this problem? So during that time, around, I think, 2015, I was already doing research about this, how to build resilience to drought and floods, and how to mitigate climate change, because the cause of this to me was partly climate change, because there are a lot of climatical changes that are happening. It was not this way when we were growing up a few years ago, maybe some 30, 40 years ago. And also our elders were reporting to us that, yes, it was not this way. So I said I would look for a solution to this problem, and I took this and started doing research on this. And around 2015, just by chance, I saw a TED talk by Alan Savory, and that is when I normally say this is the solution we need. I raised my finger and said, this is the solution we need here. So I actually wrote to Alan Savory. I wrote an email to Alan, and he referred me to they have a hub here in Kenya at the Mara, and he referred me there. At that time, I was not able to, you know, to go there because I was full-time employed in an area that was actually even far from my home area, from where my animals are, my parents and my family. So I that way. I did. I wanted to start this work and all that. Until now, around 2016, around there, we started interacting with a hub, and I also had people who started coming to see what I'm doing. A lot of people got interest in what I do, and I started receiving visitors. And somebody came here called Seth Diskan, and he took us and the community members, other seven community members, to the Mara Training Center, the Safari Hub. We did our training on holistic management, and we came here and we launched a project on land restoration. Of course, it's a bit slow because we have not really found funds yet to scale up the work, but I can say that there are a lot of changes we have already seen. In fact, last December, when they had a problem with the grass, people were running to our village where this work started. Those people who heard about you cannot. I told people we cannot keep on keeping animals that we are, you know, raising animals for droughts, just for them to dry during droughts. And I told them, for you to keep a cow, you must make sure that you are growing grass, that you have enough grass that these animals will eat. So yeah, that's how I interacted with holistic management, and it is a solution that I believe. However, of course, as you know, the hardest part is the social aspect of bringing people together, telling people. Because for me, my intention is to have people, this idea of land subdivision just collapse, and people view the land as something communal. That way, we will have a successful and a prosperous Maasai society. We there's no other option. It will take time, of course, to change the mindset that was fixed in people, that this is your individual land and all. But I want to introduce village grazing people graze like a village having like 5,000 acres of land, and people are managing it as a community and grazing together. I will not achieve that within a year or within 5 years, but it's something that I'm working on to see that we have achieved this as a community. That is what I want to do. If I die one day and I've achieved this, I'll tell God thank you, because I know I've done something for our people. Mm.
Hmm. And so where are you at now in your process? You said that the limitation was being able to scale up. Is that about being able to purchase cows? Is that the limitation right now, is the funding to purchase cows?
Yeah, we are looking for funds to buy cows that are enough to, you know, to move and graze and help us to grow grass. The second one is that we are trying to address issues to do with water. So we map up the whole issue to do with pastoralism as an economy, and we said, what is affecting pastoralism in Maasailand? And we said, one, it's grass. Two, is water. And we said, for us to get a long term, we must tell people the first thing we should do before even thinking about livestock is to make sure that the land is managed properly. And this will happen if we get to also train people, you know, giving people the right information they require to help them manage the land properly. So trainings, livestock, and water. So those are the areas that I'm focusing on, and that's what I want to do.
And how is that process going? I mean, how long have you been working on raising the funds? How long have you been working with the Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism, and kind of where do you feel you are?
Well, I can say that we have not really actively been involved in fundraising as myself and the part of the center of Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism, but we had friends who visited here, like Sadiskan, and I think soon is going to start now really doing really fundraising for the project. And but we got, through generosity of friends, we have been doing sometimes raising funds on Facebook. And at one point we bought 12 animals for community members. And we have been also able to do the trainings through the same fundraising that we have done on Facebook. Yeah, so I can say we've been doing this, I think, since 2017. But really, myself, because I don't know how to do this fundraising, I don't know how to, that's the hardest part maybe of how to do it and to know these people who might support us. Yeah, so, yeah, that's how it is.
I understand that very much. Thomas, just a quick break. We're going to talk a little bit about the High Plains Ranch Practicum, a great opportunity for people to have their paradigms challenged. Really excited next week to have Dallas Mount coming on the show to talk a little bit about profitability targets for the 2018 calf crop and how that relates to making some projections for 2019's calf crop, which is already on the ground or getting there in most cases. So really excited about the opportunities that this is presenting to ranchers to go and to get a new way of thinking, and I hope that people will consider seriously the opportunity to register for the High Plains Ranch Practicum at hpranchpracticum.com, and I look forward to next week with Dallas Mount. Where are you at on the journey of the actual regeneration of the land? Have you had opportunity to put animals on land and see that land start to regenerate thus far in the journey?
Yeah, what has happened is that we started it with one village. Actually, we have now extended to three villages. And what I did is that the first instant was just to tell people, all of us have to do it, you know, like all of us have to bring animals and we graze together. And we did it for a few days. And we started seeing community members pulling out, and we remained with four families in one village. There's one village again which has how many homesteads? About six families in another village, and another village which has I think four families. So we are working with this a few families, and we intend to build to create good results with this and be an example. But my intention, of course, which is sometimes I don't have powers to do that, was that we introduce a village grazing system, where the traditional Maasai grazing system, which used to be, that is the way I want things to be. But I don't have, this is something that I will have to stay for long to persuade people, and yeah.
So in this, in your vision, would there, all the cows would be together at one village at one time, and then after they've done their work there, they would move on to the next village, but all the cows would stay together all the time?
Yeah, it's just to make a grazing plan for a whole village, and animals you get to move. Of course, the hardest thing is that a Maasai must stay with his animal. He must sleep. He cannot sleep if the animals are not home. So that is a challenging thing, because if I wanted us to have done like, moving the animals to a certain part of the land and we stay there, we make mobile kraals, we stay there for long and we another part and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll achieve this when you get cows, because the animals we wanted to get us, yes, for part of it is to regenerate land, is for business or at some level. But we'll be able to, if we get animals that we know we own, and basically the work for it is to move and to help in regenerate land, the land, then this can be achieved. But it's very difficult to tell a Maasai, now you sleep without your animals today. It's like you being told now with your four children remaining in the city and you live in the farm, you'll not be comfortable. That's how it is here.
Mm-hmm. I see. You recently had an opportunity to spend some time with Alan Savory at the Africa Center for Holistic Management. What was that experience like? What were your goals in going to visit there? And what were you able to take away from that time?
Well, for me, first of all, I want to tell you the picture I had about Alan Savory was the same picture we have for our prophets here. He was somebody I was, and still I'm putting, but I found it to be a very easy elder and very outgoing, somebody you can interact with and ask questions. So for me, I was really longing to have an opportunity to meet Alan Savory because I like his solution, the holistic management. So when I got an opportunity to attend the leader seminar, I said it was happening. Actually, it was very funny because that is a time when we were getting our second born. So I was saying, now will I leave my wife when she's in this situation and go to Zimbabwe? So mine was just to, I was just praying that it happened so that I can get an opportunity to go to Zimbabwe. So, but luckily we got our baby a week before. By the way, something happened. Mm. My cow gave birth to twins, which it gave birth to twins, two havers. And the last time they had a cow here, which gave birth to twins, was 34 years ago. Wow. And as I say, it only happened to somebody who is lucky. Maybe as you have some, you know, it means some good omen or something like that. And also connotes that luck, you know, God luck or God favor in you. So it just happened at that time. I said, no, why is this thing happening? Going to meet Alan Savory, a cow giving birth, getting baby boy. It was all a blessing. So when I got the opportunity to meet Alan Savory, we went there for a training. We had time to get trained, also visit the ranch, you know, the Dibangombe ranch. We were able to see firsthand how the land has been restored. I saw the grasses that I've never seen. I took pictures of some grass which were, I think, some 8 meters or 9 meters long, 9 feet long. I'm 5.9, and they're very, very tall. So I got to see how the land has been restored using this solution. I also got an opportunity to see how they were, you know, moving the herd, you know, the big herd of like 600 cows, combining them with a few sheep they had, like I think 100 or 200 sheep, and the goats, the Wado are doing the mobile crafts, which is similar to what the Maasai used to do. The Maasai used to have this, they used to, you know, to go to a place which is more bare, and they set a kraal there, and that land degenerated. This is how things used to work here. So, and then now I had an opportunity to interact with Alan, ask him questions about holistic management, how he sees the future of even the communities like ours. And he told me, you are the future. You are the people who hold the future for the world. If you grace properly, you are the people who will help to restore, I think, a two-third of the terrestrial land, which is grassland. If we manage our animals properly, we'll be able to restore the land. And so he's a very wise man, and I feel that I'm blessed to have sat down with Alan and listen to him and have him advise me. And he told me, I admire the work you are doing to save your people and your culture.
Yeah, that's cool. I talked to him too, and he said that we need to save the Western ranching culture. We also need to save the Maasai pastoralist culture, and see that those cultures are able to persist. So, could you tell me just real quickly what any piece of advice that he gave you that really stuck out, or anything that you saw there that really got you excited about the potential of your plan?
Well, we talked about so many things. We were training, but in one of the evenings, Alan sat with all of us. We just had supper, and he told us that we were told that Alan wanted to talk to you. And what he told us is that we should move faster to help in land restoration using holistic management. There is no time to wait. And I think that has really motivated me and inspired me to work hard and to say that this is the time we need the solutions to be working. We can't wait. We are destroying the planet with these practices, and this is the time. So for me, that word, that this is the time to restore the land using holistic management, is what really I can say it's very important for me, and we should do it. We should do it. We should not wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe in you. I got a couple of questions just related to the animals in the land. Do you guys get enough rain there for the animals if there were grasses growing, if the animals were in that area to regenerate the land and the grasses were growing? Is there enough rain generally for you to do well?
Sometimes we get very good rains. I can say April last year, we didn't measure, but I can say we got very, very, very good rains here. There can be, if people can be taught, and we get to work with them to help in growing the grass, I think there's The rains are not the problem. I think it's just the management practices are the problem.
Sure. And what kind of animals do you guys run? What kind of cows are you guys generally
using? I prefer, that is me, and maybe a big number of people in our area, two breeds of cows. One is the Boran cow for beef, and the Sahiwal cow for dual purpose. You know, it's milk and beef. And both these breeds are important, but I prefer Boran because it's very resistant to harsh climatic conditions, and also good for beef, which has a huge market here in Kenya.
And you guys would, if all things were going well and you had beef or cattle that were grazing and growing your herd, you would sell your beef to people outside of the Maasai community?
In fact, I think 80% of beef that is consumed in Nairobi, which has a population of probably 10 million people now, comes from Maasai. So we have very huge market. We are not even able to supply enough for the market. There is always demand for meat, demand and demand, because the population is growing. I'm not sure whether we have vegans in Kenya, but I think the population is really growing here, and people eat meat.
Right. How will you know that you have been successful in what you are trying to do with the Kenyan or the Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism? How will you know that you've succeeded?
We'll measure myself, my success, by three factors. The first one is the land. The second one is the livestock. And the third one is the people who keep these animals, and they're very important as us as the master. So if I get to see that the land that I am keeping, my that we occupy as a community is well regenerated and can produce enough, what is enough for all of us, then I'll say I'm successful. If I get to see that the animals we are keeping are healthy, are productive, aside that the economy of our people is good, I'll say I'm successful. If I get to see that the masses society is empowered socially, economically and politically, and living in harmony with each other and with other communities, and being proud of their culture, then I'll say I have achieved success. This is what I want to see. Yeah.
Very good. I really, really, I like that vision, and I would love to see it come to pass. How can we, as those who are listening to what you have to say today, help you move faster? You said Alan Savory's piece of advice was that you should move faster. How can we help you move faster?
What I want is that I want support. I really want support to be able to fulfill this dream and or this vision. I need the financial support, also the trainings for these regenerative practices, and I think that's what I want. And also, I need more exposure also on my side, because I don't really consider my much. I want to see what is happening with the ranchers in your countries, in places where the land was degraded, and they have used animals, livestock to restore the land. I want to see much of this, more of this, and to get more training as a leader for our people here. Yeah, so this is what I want.
Well, I will make an appeal now to my audience to see what we can do to make that happen. And I think if anybody has any ability to help meet any of the needs that Dalmas has shared today, I would encourage you to take whatever steps necessary to see that happen. And I really hope that the Maasai people will be empowered economically, politically, and socially, and that the reason that they're empowered economically, socially, and politically will be because of their management of grazing animals. Before we close, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a Christian?
I am a born-again Christian. I am a born-again, just like you.
Okay.
I was involved in a church activity around when I was in secondary school. I worked so much to see that we have not had other religions coming to take our people away. And I believe I am a Christian, so I really love God. I'm born again Christian.
Sure. Yes. So the reason I ask is because I felt led to pray to close our time together on the podcast. Is that okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brother Dalmas, and I pray that you would do him the favor of raising up people here in the West who will be generous and help him to see the ability to move faster towards a regenerative pastoralist society in the Maasai people, and that through that regeneration of the land, you would also regenerate the people socially, economically, and politically, that they could continue to thrive in their culture, and that you would just show your favor to them. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his name.
Amen.
Dalmas, any other things you want to share? Anything you want me to link to at the show notes page, workingcows.net/89?
Well, I just want to thank you for your being generous and for inviting me to this platform to share my vision and to interact with all the good friends who love the work that I'm doing and the work that you are doing. And mine is just to say thank you for your time and for considering to interview me. And God bless you for the work you do, brother.
Thank you. God bless you as well. And it's my pleasure. Anytime you want to sit down for an interview, reach out to me and give us an update on what's going on at the Maasai Center for Regenerative Pastoralism. I'd be happy to do it. So just let me know.
Thank you. Thank you, Clay. Thank you.
Very interesting stuff there about the power of regenerative agriculture and specifically regenerative pastoralism to rejuvenate and regenerate a community and from the ground up, literally, and really look forward to future interactions with Dalmas and hopefully someday boots on the ground there in Kenya. So we are continuing to plug away. Encroaching on 100, and I've got a special guest already lined up for episode 100. Really excited about that episode and an opportunity to share that with you. Thank you so much for all the feedback I've gotten, so much positive feedback, so many people who've reached out to me and talked to me about the network and the community that's forming around this podcast. I'm really excited about that. So make sure you're not missing out on anything as far as the community goes by liking the Facebook page at facebook.com/workingcows and following me on Twitter at twitter.com/ypclayconry. So for now, we will see you next week in another episode of the Working Cows Podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.